Hey guys, what's up? We are the Story Crafters. My name is Jeff. We have Charlie and Jared. And because this is episode 11-1-1, special ones, we have, for the first time ever, a special guest. We have Jumpin' Jacks, Michaela and Kat. How the heck are you guys? This is so exciting.
Oh, we're doing really well. It's so nice to be here.
Yes. So exciting. So exciting. We were talking a little bit earlier in how Jared and was answering a few questions from you with how the Story Crafters came around. So I wanted to be front and ask you guys, how did Jumpin' Jacks start? How did that whole thing come about?
So,
let's just jump right into it.
The backstory, Kat and I have been friends for years and years and years, and she had lived in LA and had recently just moved to New York City, and we were trying to figure out ways that we could start making our own kind of income, because I work as a bartender, I work in the hospitality industry, and honestly, sometimes, you know, especially when the economy is doing great, so am I. And so Kat also works in like corporate America and like a lot of like really soul-sucking, soul-crushing industry stuff. And so we were trying to figure out something that we could do, that we could make. And would you like to tell this part of the story, or shall I?
I one morning stumbled out into a living room and I was like, what about TTRPG gift boxes?
That's not how that went. That's not at all how that went. I was sitting on the couch, minding my own business, living my life, when out into the hallway I hear, dun, 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 dun. Gift boxes, D&D gift boxes. Nobody does them. And I said, what? A business. Boxes. And then no context, she goes back into her room, and I said, okay, I'll look it up.
I remembered it being really mellow, but I remember having the idea, stumbling out, saying it, and then leaving. That's basically how it happened.
That's incredible.
That's awesome. So then we went on to, you know, the interweb. Well, I did, because I don't know what happened to Kat for the next hour. But I went on to the internet.
I did some research on, like, you know, like the market and everything.
Yeah, and we were like, oh, really? There is nobody who does, like, TTRPG-themed gift boxes, or like, you know,
that are class based
specifically. And so we started chitty chatting about it, trying to figure out how we were gonna, you know, market this, like what would our price point be, what would we include in it, what exactly are we trying to say with it, because whenever you start a business, right, you're saying something. Whatever you do, you're making a kind of point. And we wanted to super focus on local businesses and local artists, because like my partner is an illustrator and an artist. Most of our friends are artists. So we were trying to figure out ways to showcase them while also like trying to create something cool and new and nifty. And then we were thinking, okay, what normally comes in these boxes? It comes with like candles, teas, things like that, things that are easily transferable, you know, all around the country. And so we started going to like little like festivals, or you know, like street,
like
fests.
street markets and street festivals and that sort of thing. And we went to one farmer's market that was in Union Square.
Yeah.
And the very first booth we went to, we were offered samples of tea, and we were like, this is the best tea I think I've ever had.
Okay.
And so we started with that, and we were like, okay, cool, we got our teas down, check. And then we did the same thing with the candles. We just stumbled upon this this lovely human who was, you know, selling her wares. And I said, hey, how do you feel about making... Yeah, that one! I was like, how do you feel about making 300 of these? And she's like, okay, yeah, I can do that. Yeah. Also
exactly like that.
She was pricing them a certain way for like retail, and we asked her wholesale prices, and she was like, I don't know if I can do different wholesale prices. And we started chatting, and it was because she'd basically priced herself
into
where she wasn't making a profit. And so we're like,
oh,
what are you getting for your base materials? And we helped her research base materials, so she actually made a profit. It was
awesome. Incredible. That's great.
We were able to take her like actual make price and like cut it in like two-thirds, I think.
That's great.
That's awesome.
She actually is able to have a business.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Wow. And then, so yeah, I just kind of kept going like that. I ended up creating like a pitch deck. Like I was Miss Businesswoman made a pitch deck. And we went up and started kind of talking to people and trying to get them involved in our company and say that they wanted to like partner with us and pair with us. And we were met with so much love. Obviously, you know, most of you guys I've just randomly messaged and was like, you don't know me. We have 30 followers. Yeah. Will you be our friend? And yeah, it was just, it was mostly just chitty chatting and trying to make friends and actively showcasing that we were actually part of our industry and wanted to, you know, improve people's lives that were also in our industry. And that's kind of how it started. And now we have done our own first like live gaming event, which was a super fun event. And
which is wild. Like yeah. Just saying that statement, that's insane. The like jumping off point, how much time passed between like Cat stumbling into the hallway saying, I have an idea, to you have a live event.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So
4 months.
So Cat stumbling into the hallway screaming, I have an event.
That was September.
In September. We launched our products on November 29th. So yeah. That was about a month or 2 months ish for us to like do all the back like history stuff like that. Then from November 29th to December 31st, we sold out of most of our products. So within like a month and some change, well,
we did sell out. Wait, for we some did, and then we had to restock.
Yes,
yeah, so we did. I remember that.
And then we restocked, and then we sold out of them again. And then we've just kind of been hanging around, you know, since the beginning of the new year, because everybody does their shopping during Christmas, right? So like we're starting to like, you know, advertise for, you know, birthdays and stuff like that. But also, you know, the world's been on fire, so it hasn't been like the top priority in our
brand. Just a little bit. Yeah.
It's also been kind of a problem we've run into. So all of our products in the boxes are sourced locally. Mm. However, we didn't expect that like the bubble wrap and the boxes and the filler paper were not. So now we, you know, with the world on fire and everything priced crazy, we're like, well, what do we do?
Because
we didn't plan on our packing materials apparently. So
you didn't think about that.
Who knew?
Yeah, it's like you're like, you don't think about the price of paper, when you're in an office. It's not even like on the top of your priority list.
Yeah. Really? We're like, bubble wrap, that comes from somewhere else. We're like, bubble wrap is bubble wrap. Who cares? But apparently,
we care now. We care a lot now.
How do you feel about the difference between bubble wrap and packing peanuts?
So, look, I love Cheeto. I do. We also have cats, and cats will eat things that look like
That is the truth through and through.
I also live in a tiny little bush pickup apartment. So the bubble wrap we can get in a giant roll and just kind of shove it onto a counter somewhere, like up in like above the fridge. Mm-hmm. But packing peanuts take up a lot of space.
Yeah.
So,
but
it's when you like have to unzip your mattress and the packing peanuts spill out. And I'm in there too. Shake out the pillowcase full of packing peanuts. You know,
this is why I'm so glad that you guys are the first guests, because that was a joke throwaway question that just went way farther than I thought it was going to.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Well, to be fair,
wasn't expecting you to go with that one.
Kat and I are yes and people. You give us a question, we will run with it, babe.
I mean, that's D&D as a whole, isn't it? I mean, the majority of this community is that, you know.
100%.
So anyway, back to the question, though. Jeez, December, sold out. Back to the live event.
Yes, so I have been pitching this live event kind of since the beginning, right? Because that was the eventual goal. We wanted to make it like a big community oriented thing. And so in December, I reached out to this person named Jet Adams, who works with Dungeons and Drafts, and which is like a collective of professional GMs here in New York City. And I just wanted to talk to them to see what they thought about how a live event could run and like if they would be interested in writing a one shot with me, like, cause I wanted to make sure that we were doing this properly. Mm-hmm. And so they were like, love it, into it, into you guys, let's do something. And then their best friend ended up actually buying one of our boxes for them for Christmas.
Oh, cool.
And so they ended up getting a box for Christmas, which is really fun. And then it kind of got put on the back burner for a little bit until around February. I reached back out to them and we're like, hey, remember that one show we were talking about? Do you want to like still do that? Would that be of interest to you? And they're like, yeah, that sounds awesome. So then within the course of a month from like February 1st to the end of February, I reached out to Jet. We wrote a one shot, reached out to like all of these vendors who were going to be showcased it there, reached out to the Dungeons and Drafts crew and got them to put the tickets live and, you know, create the event page, start selling the tickets, worked with Brooklyn Kuda to like have the actual space that we could present in. And it was, it was such a good space for this. And yeah, so I think the actual, from our first meeting for the live event to the day that it actually went up was maybe 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
It's insane.
That's yeah. Awesome. It was a lot of like, Kat had a great time.
We, oh man, there were so many people.
So
there, we packed, we like basically sold out the entire building.
Yeah.
I walked up, wow. we so the bartenders were like serving drinks and everything. I walk up to order something just for food so I could, you know, eat. And I hear the head bartender being like, don't worry, on the next day we'll work on the training. We just got to get through this. I'm so sorry. We weren't expecting this. And I was like, oh my God, it is her first day.
That's amazing.
Like when we pitched to them, we were like, hey, we want to find a day that you guys aren't doing anything that we can like up sales, right? Which is what bars always need. That's Dungeons and Drafts' whole idea is they come on like slow days. So the bar will get a little bit of pump. And Sunday in Industry City is dead. Nothing's happening. When suddenly a swarm of nerds descend upon Brooklyn Gura. And we had five tables of six players each. So that's 30 player, or was it more? Yeah, no, I think it was 30 players. And then we had the GM, or the GMs. And then we also had the vendors that were part of our crew.
And then we had a bunch of people who weren't playing games, but came in to see what was going on, what the haps were, and shop at some of the vendors. So we built up business in multiple facets.
Yeah.
And
Bards of New York came and just wanted to see what we were like and just to see what the vibe was, because we had offered them like, hey, we know that you are huge in the industry here. We'd love to like give you a couple of comp tickets to come play. And then they were like, oh, hey, we would love that. Unfortunately, our schedule can't do it, but we'd love to come say hi. And so they did. So it was just suddenly humans everywhere.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's incredible.
Every single table in the entire building was ours.
There was one table of guests.
Oh, yeah.
They were probably like, we came here because we thought it was going to be slow. What's happening?
It was so funny because they actually had a book, like a game book of some kind of other TTRPG. And I was just like, oh, hey, are you interested in what we're doing today? And they're like, no, we had our own thing set up.
Whoops.
That's fantastic.
That's awesome.
That's insane, though. I mean, so what a rousing success. I mean, I'm sure obviously much time and love and energy went into that, but like, sounds like it turned out even better than you could have hoped.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, so one of the things that we did was, yes. So I wanted to make sure that everybody had like a little memento for the game. So I'm handmade all of these little like game tokens. Like, I mean, they were essentially out of Sculpey. So it was essentially like a circle and then a bar so that you could move it around the table. And I colored them. That's so everyone had a special color.
They were all like hodged with our logo and everything on them. So they were like personalized and stuff. And
And so like everybody who played got to have like a little something, something. We gave all the DMs like trays. And one of the things that we did was DMs for Dungeons and Drafts get paid for the game, right? They get like a stipend for playing the game. So we doubled their stipend. So they got their regular stipend, and then we also paid them a stipend as well for playing our game that we designed. And then we had a bunch of vendors who came, including like artists and like little like soft creature makers. What are they called?
Plushies.
Plushies. Like a little plushie creator. We also had our candle maker came, and so did Brooklyn Game Night, which is a game store that was like literally like in the same plaza. So they just came and brought a bunch of wares, and they gave us stuff to put in our raffle.
Yeah, we had
three
raffles set up because our perfumer that curates the perfumes had a personalized raffle item there for someone to have a
perfume experience.
Perfume experience where they get their custom scent. And then we had, what were the other ones?
We had one that was like this fancy bag that had a bunch of like little squiggly bits in. It was like a dragon bag.
And then it had like it had a mini dice set, a little card set, like a flag, a dice tray, tea, candle. It had a ton of stuff in it.
Yeah. And then the other one was, I can't remember what the third one was, but essentially we split them all.
Oh, it was a tea and candle pack.
That's right.
Yeah, the tea and candle pack.
So, and we split them up where one of them, the proceeds went to the GMs. One of them, the proceeds went to the vendors. So they got like a little bump, you know, payback just for being there. Mm-hmm. And then the third one went, to the perfumer. So our raffles were like the money went to like all the different people who were there to support us, and it was really cool. So yes, it was a rousing success, and we can't wait to do it again.
That was my next question: is do you have one, like, maybe not officially announced? Do you have the ball in motion to do a next event, or is it like we're exhausted, let's wait 6 months?
It's one of those where we just the world's on fire, and so we're trying to figure out how to best handle that. The dragons are in the air, if you will. But as soon as we left, or as soon as we were packing up, the GM was like, we would love to do this again. Please do this again.
The bartender too, they had a slam night. People were ordering drinks and appetizers all night, so they were like back to back running around like crazy. And so when we talked to them, they were like, oh yeah, yes.
Please come back. We'll do this again.
That's awesome. That's so much fun.
It was so much fun, mostly because the people who were there were having a fucking ball. They were having the best time. It was so great. Like, I just walked around, and you've known me for approximately 30 minutes now. I will cry over anything. I will cry if something's like really beautiful. I'll sob. I was crying the entire time we were having that meeting. I was just like, this is so beautiful. Everything's so good. I'm just like,
well, crying is a free action. You can do it as much as you need to.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
He knows what it's at.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we actually have published the workshop.
Oh yeah, so Jet and I are currently working on publishing the one shot that we did.
Nice,
awesome!
Jumpin' Jack's Tavern themed game.
It's so fun.
So yeah,
little characters
design. Yeah, so I made like OCs so that in case you didn't have your own characters, like here are some suggested characters who have like backstory ties that you could play, and. Yeah, we got a little bit of feedback from the GMs. We also got a little bit of feedback from the players. And I mean, Jet's just a fantastic writer, like a fantastic game writer. I fancy myself a pretty decent writer, but I writing scripts and writing novels is a little different than writing for a game.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Jet threw it out the park. Great work. So it's going to be really cool. Super excited to keep editing it and get it into like a publishable form so that we can share it with the world.
Nice. That's so awesome. Much fun.
That's so cool.
This is why I love D&D though, because it's like it can take place in any form, in any location. You just like you have to have the people, and if you can get the people together, then like you're gonna have a great time, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's also one of those beautiful things that like in our current society and day and age, a lot of things are meant to separate us and keep us isolated, just like between capitalism and, you know, the general state of the world. Everything is so individualistic and so separation. So, and it creates so much separation from the people who are physically around you and also emotionally around you that D&D or any other TTRPG really is like one of those soul things that brings people together and like, for no other reason than the love of the thing and the love of the people you're with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is so beautiful. And I think we've talked about that on our show before, even. It's just like, there's so few things. I mean, there's other games similar to D&D, but there's so few things like that, that you can have, you know, a 70-year-old person who's played D&D in their basement for 50 years, and you can have new people that are just discovering it, and you can have those people sit down at a table, and they may not have anything else in common, but they can find that common ground and they can have a great time. And that is what humankind should be able to do. Yes! And it's so beautiful in that moment, you know?
Like, I don't know if you guys have, you know, spicy relationships with your family. but like, my father and I have an interesting dynamic where, you know, we're both always right. And so it's one of those things where it's really, you know, it's always fun having that conversation. But D&D is like our one safe topic. We can talk about D&D and everything's fine. Everything's cool.
Nice.
We can talk about
that's what it should be. D&D should always be a safe space for everyone, because that's what tabletop gaming should be.
100%.
Clean and simple.
I used to work in higher education, and I did so many different trainings and advocacy work for different student groups and student unions for sexual assault and domestic violence awareness. I was a safe space coordinator for like 10 years. And with all of those, I can't tell you any other time that I've been able to have like a table of people whose ages range from like 16 to 60, and people who identify with different genders and sexualities and different backgrounds, different races and religions, and can sit at a table and get lost in a shared experience together. When there's so many things that they've been taught and told to divide them and not to identify with each other. And here they are, you know, every time I do, you know, one shots or start a new campaign, or especially if I'm running events at cons or other places, and you get people to come around a table, you know, just sign up blindly. And you just get just this smattering of backgrounds and people that come together, and they all get lost in this wonderful experience together. Mm-hmm. That is such a rare thing that you just don't have happen organically anywhere else that I can really think of.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Cause like, I have a 16-year-old in my game, and I also have a 36-year-old too. So it's like, there's a 20-year gap in my games, and it's doesn't really matter. I mean, there's a couple things, of course, but like, from the like interactions, everything is, it's like, cool. You're playing your dude. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Let's you're go. Playing your dude.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a game. I had a game a while ago, a group that was meeting regularly. And I remember there was one gentleman who had like moved here from Oregon like 2 weeks prior, knew no one. And I think he was working as a prep cook for a restaurant. And we had opposite the table from him, somebody who's here working for NATO from the British Navy. And, you know, there's like a 30-year difference between them. You know, one guy who's been playing D&D 5th edition for a couple of years, and that's what he got into. And then another gentleman who's been playing since 2nd edition. And then I remember we had another gentleman who joined us later, who he started playing. I can't remember what it was called. I have it written down somewhere. But it is the German version of D&D that came out like 30, 40 years ago. That's what he was playing. And it was just such a vast group of people that you would never have these different people come together and sit at a table together for any other reason than this. They just wouldn't interact with each other, for their lives just wouldn't cross. And it was just, and it's just so cool.
We're in such a fun hobby, guys.
We are.
I know. It's the best, isn't it? So, speaking of D&D, if I can ask a question, so anybody can answer this, but my question is, if you could sit at a D&D table with anyone throughout all of history, real or fictional, living or not, and regardless of whether they've actually played D&D, who would it be, and why do you think you would vibe with them as a player or DM? My example for this is my mind immediately jumped to Robin Williams. I feel like, you know, he would be the like ultimate vibe. Whether he's running the game or as a player, that would be like, you know, his energy and imagination would just transfer so well. You know, who knows if he ever got to play D&D or chose to play D&D in his lifetime. But like, that is where my mind goes. That's who I would want to sit and, you know, just get to witness it. You know, even if I sat in silence the whole time, it'd be well worth it, you know.
Damn, why couldn't you have thrown this question into the regular show?
Because I wanted to see all your faces, actually. So.
So Robin Williams is my initial thought. Now I have to think about somebody else. And
young Tim Curry.
That's a good answer.
Tim Curry that was unhinged and recreated the entirety of the end of Clue twice.
Yes.
Like that too.
Right. Yes. That's and it, of fantastic. Course, would have to be Clue themed one shot.
This is true.
Yes.
Not the actual Clue game, but it has to be some kind of murder mystery. Like,
yeah, if you think about Tim Curry, he's, you know, from Rocky Horror to Wild Thornberries, that guy's got range.
Oh, for sure.
Yes.
Wild Thornberries. Nothing ages any of us as much as like pulling a show out of the 90s like that we all know we watched like crazy growing up.
Rowan Atkinson. I feel like Rowan Atkinson would be fun.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes, you know, absolutely.
Goodness. I would have killed to play D&D with is, what's her fucking name? Who he wanted to work with.
What?
Oh, Dan, Maggie Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And Power, yes. Goddamn icon.
Yes. Yeah, Maggie Smith, I think, just the sharp tongue. That, I mean, like, if I had to describe what a drag queen is supposed to be, I would just show them Maggie Smith. Because that's, like, in order to tell someone to go to hell and make them look forward to the trip, like, what a...
Yeah.
Surreal.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Also, I think... oh gosh, what's his name? The new Doctor from Doctor Who.
I don't know the new Doctor.
Oh, yes, you're talking about the one on Disney Plus.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that boy is a Bard Roach all over him. Look at that smile. Oh, that shit-eating grin. I love it.
You could honestly argue any of the Doctors.
Any of the Doctors, yeah.
Sure. Absolutely. Really. Absolutely.
I have no idea who any of them are. I haven't watched a single episode of Doctor Who.
I like the Ninth Doctor.
Dude, it's a black hole.
That's one of those things that that's definitely a nerddom that it's like you have to make the conscious choice to jump into it if you haven't already been there. Because
you are
that's,
getting married.
Yeah.
You just found a lifelong partner.
Yes. I had a friend of mine give me one time external hard drive with the first 9 seasons of Doctor Who, like bootleg.
There's 9 seasons.
Oh, there's more than that. There's more.
Oh,
than
there's so many. There's 9 seasons.
I was like, and so just I don't know. It was like one summer or whatever. I just like started it and then didn't stop. That's basically what happens. It's just Doctor Who is a bag of potato chips.
So this. I don't know if you guys will know who this person is. I'm hoping so. And if there wasn't a language barrier, Hiromu Arakawa is the author of Full Metal Alchemist.
Oh, yeah.
World building. The world building, the character development. Like, I mean, I still think, you know how people say like Citizen Kane is the best story ever written? In my personal opinion, I think Full Metal Alchemist is one of, if not the best, world building, character arc, design of everything. Like just
Man,
yeah,
hot take. I mean, it's not that hot of a take because I think you're probably correct in your thought process. But
yeah,
she's always right.
Well, that seems to be true. Yeah,
Jim gets it quick.
Speaking Yes, I'm absolutely adore Full Metal Alchemist, and 100%, that would be so great. I especially love a lot of darker elements in D&D and conflicting characters that are so gray. You know, they're not good nor bad. It just is more perspective. And Scar is a great example of that. And I would love, you know, so I think he would do a phenomenal job at that.
Not Jeremy Irons, just the character Scar.
Yeah, just the character, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. But I think another anime, if you're talking about it, another creator who would be great would be, and I don't know the name of him, but whoever created Death Note would be, I would play any one shot that they wrote.
Hot take. 100%. That was only good until a very distinct thing happens in the story and then the rest of it's bad. But that's just my personal hot take.
Hey, that is fair. But it's an original, it is definitely an original design and yes. concept and just, yes, whatever they came up with, I know it's going to be something I'm not expecting. And it's going to surprise me.
What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, in the realm of like darker elements, I don't know if anyone is an Ozark person, but Laura Linney as like Wendy Bird would have been dark.
Yeah.
Her against Scar would be hilarious.
Speaking of like dark TTRPGs, have any of you guys played Old Gods of Appalachia?
No, but that sounds incredible.
Okay, so one, go listen to the podcast. So essentially is a horror anthology podcast where like I'm from the South and it's a bunch of like old cryptid, also like just Appalachian folklore and it's if you like old creepy storytelling, and the guy who writes it and does the narration has that like Southern Baptist preacher, like hellfire and brimstone kind of voice. And so you're listening to it and it's just, oh my God. And they're in the way that they describe these cryptids and these creepy demons and these things that go bump in the night, because this is a world in which those things are real. And it's just, for one, it's just so good. You guys should go listen to it. Not an ad, but for two, they created a TTRPG and it's really fun.
That's awesome.
I definitely,
that is like my dream. I ran a one shot. It was like the first time I actually DM'd. I don't know if I ever talked about this. That was like a Wild West setting. I just finished playing Red Dead Redemption 2 and I love cryptids. And so I was like, I'm going to do like a twist on Red Dead where the BBEG is a Wendigo. That's going to be set in like a more Montana sort of. Yeah. It was pretty cool. That's my dream though. I want to do like a one shot or a strung together one shots. That's all the cryptids. I think it'd be so much fun.
Yeah. It's so good because it's so dark and it really lends to the history and especially like the cultural history. Like there's so much trauma around the railroad system that went through, you know, all of the Appalachian Mountains, and also like the poverty and the drugs and things like that. Things that these people who have never had a way out of, because, you know, greed and capitalism and all of these other terrible things. And so they become part of the dark magic of that world. And also the shady rail folk are, you know, they seem like just business folk, but there's something real shady about them. And it's
also, what is it with like every bridge in the South that like multiple people died in the process of it being made? Like,
because it's the South and
everything's like, yeah.
Regulation who?
Yeah.
Oops. Yeah.
I think OSHA is one of the cryptids as well.
OSHA's a cryptid, yes.
It's so hard.
We have I'm in the midst of writing novelizing my family's like D&D campaign in books, and we have a set of like gods and goddesses that are built for the world because it's a homebrew world, and OSHA is one of our goddesses.
My gosh,
that's amazing.
That's awesome. Please tell me that they are a lawful neutral.
I think they are. They're mostly focused on workplace safety. Jeff, I don't think we heard who you wanted to play with though.
Oh, Yes. I want to for a lawful or like a bright sided campaign, I'd like to play with Henry Cavill. Not as a GM, but like as a player.
Yeah.
I would love to play with Henry Cavill. One, play D&D with him. Two, play Warhammer with him, because I play a lot of Warhammer.
Because he's dedicated to the bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I would love to play D&D with him. For a darker side, I would love for Edgar Allan Poe to GM a game.
Oh, wow. Duh, yeah. Whoa. That's
a great answer.
I just love his description of the environments, and that would, like, I'm talking like blacked out room, candles for the lights, chandelier on the top, a fucking raven in the you know, beginning of the give me the darkness.
Like that'd in my head canon, that's just what like his living room is like anyway.
I'm assuming that's his kitchen. Like
he never laid on the couch eating chips. Like every moment of his life was like a gothic dream.
That's just what I want, and I want like the darkest, goriest like minis and stuff on the table. I want the I'm gonna do this. Like I wanna do this now.
Immediately starts writing.
How to
You gotta commit to the bit and dress like Edgar Allan Poe. You have to walk into the room as Edgar Allan Poe.
But you don't have to marry your cousin.
But you don't have to
That is solid advice. I don't know what the laws in Virginia are, but regardless of the legal rim, you know, that's solid advice.
Go one state over.
Yeah. I love Edgar Allan Poe. That is one detail about him that I'm always like,
ooh.
Okay.
I mean, listen, you would probably be hard pressed to find any historical figure that doesn't have like one little, you know, asterisk by their name of like, oops.
Yeah. I do think a larger asterisk than some though.
Yeah.
I do agree. Absolutely. 100%. No one is perfect. I'm not perfect. Nobody is.
Edgar Allan Poe and Mary Shelley would be, I mean, if you wanted to go like,
oh yeah,
creation, world building, mm-hmm. I'm thinking.
Who's the guy who wrote Vampire also? I was in the same. Wasn't he also in that same like castle thing with Mary Shelley?
Yeah, yeah.
You're talking about Bram Stoker.
Bram Stoker wrote Dracula.
No, it was the other. It was a different guy. It was I can't remember. He was in that same castle like competition with Mary Shelley.
Well, it's Mary Shelley, Percy Shelley, and then oh god, what was the other guy's name? Oh, it was like the reason why she started Frankenstein was to stop having to talk to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's his name? Oh,
that's
gosh.
Awesome. I know vaguely what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll put it in the show notes. One of us will think of it or remember, and we'll put it in the show notes.
Damn it. Where's Nicole?
Yeah. Where's Nicole? Yeah. The show notes extraordinaire.
Yeah.
And also, sorry, I have to cut in real quick because I just realized that when we did the intro, Nicole isn't here tonight because of family things and IRL things of importance. So hopefully she'll come in at some point. Sorry, Nicole.
We'll edit that and put it at the beginning to make it seem like we knew what we were doing the whole time, though.
Yeah, we're gonna put a little picture like.
Right.
Did you guys remember the that end of the world YouTube skit?
It's like, yes.
I don't know why I just thought of like we have Jeff, Jared, Charlie, and Nicole. But I'm retired. Then fire the missiles. Anyways, Michaela, you and Kat answered like five of my questions in one go. That was awesome.
I do my best. Efficiency is key.
Did we all?
Well, here, this is one question. Jeff put. Where do you see Jumpin' Jack's Tavern in 5 years?
Oh. Where? In a business interview. Where do we see it in 5 years? Okay, well, so, yeah, there's a lot of different things. I'm hoping, my partner and I are planning on migrating out of America to Europe. And so
congratulations.
We're looking to do European tour. And so we're hoping that I can, you know, I can handle the European side of it. Kat will handle the American side of it. And so that we can kind of, for one, branch out our little worldview, because one of the things that's been so interesting about our launch was, I want to say probably like 30% of the people who were putting things in their cart were from other countries. A lot of them from the UK, a lot of them from Australia. Ooh. And we just like, we just don't know how to handle the shipping of all of that. Yeah. And so we were just like, we can only ship to America right now, but one day we're going to get it. We're going to figure it out. So I think that would be really cool just because we got so much interest that we were not at all expecting from international guests, which was wonderful. And also I think it'd be really nice to be able to showcase other small businesses from like local industries that will be around. I'm hoping in terms of scope, we're working to try and include more classes because we started with 5 classes just so we didn't like overwhelm ourselves, because you know the 12 classes is a lot right at the beginning. And so we're hoping to open up to the 12, you know, general D&D classes. Beyond that, we're also hoping to do a DM box. So that'll include like a copy of our one shot and then like some more higher class items, like, you know, wooden DM screen and things like that. Like a DM starter kit where you essentially be cool. I'm starting my first DM thing. What do I need? Well, here you go.
Briefly floated at least one monster box with
like so like assuming that all of those go well and we're still kicking, we're hoping to do like a mimic box or a monster box or some kind of like, you know, every Halloween we have a new theme or like whatever. So hoping to do that, hoping to do some more like high value boxes, so like in case you wanted to get something that was like a little nicer for your gamer, things that are, you know, like DM screens, like what did we discuss?
We'd floated journals. For the DM box, we had floated like all leather and wood.
So things like that. Because we wanted to make sure that when we first started, we were keeping at a price point that people found that people could afford. Just because I think there's a lot of gatekeeping in terms of financial gatekeeping in a lot of like D&D products. Just because people are like, I can charge $200, so I will. And it's just, it sucks because there's a lot of people who are D&D fans, TTRPG fans, who are, you know, broke millennials like me. And want to take care of their other gamers and their other friends and like want to be able to do something really lovely for them, but don't have the finances to do a huge thing. But they want to find something that is, you know, pointed, right? It's dedicated to why you and I are friends. And so we wanted to make sure that we started a price point that was feasible for people, and then we could grow from that. And then also start, you know, offering individual things like journals, like DM screens, like tea and candle packages, which have been really popular. Surprisingly enough, just the candle and tea part people are really interested in.
I think there's some beauty in just having something like selected and they're like, I'm like-minded. I have similar interests. If they like it, I know I'm going to like it. I think there's a lot of beauty in that. I mean, I'm a sucker for stuff like that too. It's just like, hey, if they like it, I'm going to like it, you know?
Yeah. So that's kind of, we're hoping to expand out our ability to do that. Also just, like we also stamp every single box and we handwrite every single thank you card. We would love to be able to get to a point where we could like afford like nicely decorated boxes. Like, I know that sounds like such a small thing, but like
Nicole, hello.
Hey.
Hello, Nicole. How are you? It's so good to actually meet you in person.
Just about right. No, I know I'm late to the conversation, but I'm glad I got to at least join for a bit.
Yes. We're talking about boxes. It's a very important conversation.
I have to say, the look, though, of the box with the stamped logo does look so freaking awesome. It really does.
I appreciate that. Because we lay on the floor and stamp every single one of those boxes with an ink pen.
But it was honestly perfect. The black stamp with the white cardboard, it just like has like this, I don't know, like, I don't want to say like rustic necessarily, but like a bit of a weathered look to it. And it just looked like you were, like when those boxes got delivered, like they looked so freaking cool on the doorstep. I was just like,
part of the weather might be the post office.
It actually be like mailing trauma. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it just, I mean, it was just like, you got like a crate, like you got like this like epic thing. Like, I don't know. I thought it was really cool. So, kudos to you guys.
Yeah. Oh, that makes my heart so happy. Also, it's one of the like side note really cool things about the designing for everything for Jumpin' Jack's Tavern is my partner is the illustrator and the graphic designer for our company. And so she's been able to create an entire like section of her portfolio for branding because she's made all of the branding.
Makes sense.
And your branding, by the way, is on point. It is fantastic.
Yeah. Thank you. Speaking of cryptids, we're also hoping to include more artists. Like one of the things that we want to do is like do art competitions to include art pieces in our boxes.
Oh, cool.
Because one of the other things we want to raise everyone around. In my mind and in Kat's mind, the way that we handle our business is the high tide rises all ships. So if we are succeeding, the people who are with us will also be succeeding, right? Mm-hmm. A key piece of evidence towards that is our candle maker, one. When we started, she was, she had her own little table and everything was really great. But she was just kind of sitting in on like street sides and just kind of selling. And when we commissioned her to be our candle maker and we started putting in like these huge, like 100 candle orders, she was able to get enough like revenue that she actually had to like revamp her business. And she talked to me when we were discussing like editing to new candle options for the expansion of the new boxes. And she's like, hey, I just want to let you know that because you guys believed in me, I had to start believing in myself. And so I actually revamped the entire business. I'm now able to do, so many other different things that I hadn't believed. And I was just like, so then I cried because that's what I do.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And so that's our goal is to like find local people who are like-minded and want to do the things that we want to do, help them succeed while we share things with the community. And another thing in the future is we want to do more live gaming events because that was so much fun.
Live gaming events are where it's at.
I mean, look at that. Those boxes look so cool. They look so good.
That's really dope. Yeah.
Like it's so simple and so just great presentation.
It's fine.
There's going to be a Michaela cries counter on this.
Fun fact, we did that on my birthday. So I'm born on St. Patrick's Day, which is a big Irish holiday, and things that are beautiful make me cry, right? You know what's really beautiful? Irish dancing and also queer joy. So we went to a Ginger's, which is like a queer bar here in Brooklyn, and they had live Irish dancers, and it was like a queer Irish dancing group. And I cried 9 times.
I don't remember. You made it to the front and started dancing, and I got left at the end of the crowd because I wanted more.
So when we were still hanging out, it was around 9 times, and that was just from like hearing Irish music and crying about how pretty it was, and then watching dancers enjoying themselves and crying about the joy of queer like living. And we cried. I mean, everything. If it old people falling in love, gone. Puppy dogs doing something really cute, or like cats cuddling against each other, gonzo. Like, yeah. Robots falling in love or like feeling pain, Done.
Don't even get me started on that. I know what movie you're talking about. You're talking about The Wild Robot, aren't you?
So I haven't seen Wild Robot yet because I'm waiting to watch it with my partner because I know it's going to ruin me. Yeah. But there's this little short that Disney did that is about these two robots that are essentially like they shovel coal effectively, but they're on power strips. They're like on power strips and they're just far away from each other that they can't touch. Oh, no. And so one of them essentially like creates a battery and unlatches himself. And it's just, it's so sweet.
Nobody rips your heart out quite like Disney and Pixar do, right?
Yes.
Jared and Nicole and I have kids and I was not prepared for the Wild Robot. Eli was like, let's watch it. And we were like, okay, cool. And it has like really funny parts where I'm literally crying from laughing so much to where I was like, I gotta go in the kitchen. I'll be right back.
It's a great movie.
Great movie, but dear God, I was not prepared for the
five new friends.
Hi.
Hello, new friend.
Hello. We're still here. We're just on a black screen for a second.
You just saved me so much editing.
Right? Right?
Oh my gosh.
Okay,
bye.
This is all part of the Storycrafters. I know Jared, your kids are bound to come in at some point, but I know Nicole's been on a few times with accidentals, and my son came on accidentally. So we try to keep the kiddos off the interwebs if we can. But
thankfully, my kiddos, in terms of furry things, don't care if they're on the interwebs.
Yeah,
mine is sleeping, but he is showcased right back here in his school.
Yeah. Aww.
In his school photo? Is that what you just said?
It's not actually like he didn't go to school or anywhere, but like tell me this doesn't look like every like
oh my god, like, that is every senior picture photo. Ever.
That's incredible.
Yes.
Wait, did you like go to JCPenney and get that taken? Like what happened here? What is the story?
Does JCPenney even exist, let alone take pictures anymore? We were just talking. I think Kat said something about wild thornberries earlier, and I'm like, we are aging ourselves.
I'll sidetrack us for 60 seconds so Nicole can post this as a short. Basically, what I did as like a, I think it was some kind of gift for my wife. I don't know if it was like for our dating anniversary or Valentine's Day or something. Like it was a couple years ago. I found this place that was like down the road from our apartment that does pet portraits. And I was like, how cool would that be to like go and just like, you know, get some photos and bring them back. And so her best friend was in town. She went out with the best friend. I took Toby down the street to this place to do pet portraits. It was a nightmare, like in the sense of like, he was so overstimulated and was like fascinated by everything. He could not sit still to take one single photo. And we tried so hard, but we did manage to get one, this one. And so she was like, yeah, I was like, we got really lucky. It was perfect. And I was like, so she was like, part of the package is I'll print one for you right now. We looked through the photos and she was like, and then pick like your 30 or 40, and then I'll have them like edited and put together, you know, as a digital portfolio, and then you can do whatever you want. I'll have stuff you can do from there. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, cool. So we did that. I put this over, wait for the holiday, give it to, you know, my wife. During the course of that time, that photography place went out of business. So this is the only thing that we got from it. And I'm like, thank goodness, like we got one good photo that like didn't have to be edited or anything, and I got printed, because I never got anything else from them. And then they went out of business, and their location was like, it's now filled by like a church or something.
Oh my god.
it was so weird.
So funny.
But yeah.
I have four cats of my own. I did not intend to be the crazy cat lady. The crazy cat lady chose me, and it literally did. It literally did. It was not my choice. I did not do this on purpose. But the
cats are also like potato chips. You start with one, and then you just you know, pop.
And all of a sudden, the entire can of Pringles is in your house.
Yes.
First two were orphaned by a hurricane, Hurricane Irma in Florida. And so they were born the night of Hurricane Irma and were just orphaned because, or well, were just abandoned. And so anyways, my friend who was the emergency manager of the hotel that I like hotel chain that I worked for found these like newborn baby kittens. It was like, hey, Michaela, we know you've been looking for a cat. How do you feel about two? And so I was like,
boy, do I have a deal for you.
But so her husband is a photographer and was able to take like these adorable little photos of them. That's this is so Tolkien, cute. Who's like a princess, right? So here's their teenage photos. Tolkien is a princess and Conan's a gremlin, right? This is showcased in the fact that Tolkien's a princess and Conan's a gremlin.
Also, we have to observe by, is he named Conan because of Conan O'Brien or Conan the Barbarian?
Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
That is the right answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I have Tolkien, Conan, Reardon, and Jacques. And you know, I've just recently heard, and I don't know if this is true because Homeboy's dead, but the guy who wrote Redwall apparently pronounced his name Brian Jakes instead of Brian Jacques.
I also just recently heard this. Yeah.
I refuse. I rebuke it. I do not.
I have no idea what
Redwall is excellent, by the way, and makes
Redwall so settings. Good.
I was listening to it with my kids. My kids were not as into it as I was hoping, but we had a road trip like a few months ago. And I'm like, I have the perfect audiobook to throw on in the car. It did not hold their attention. Did I still enjoy it?
Reading Redwall was how I learned how to voice act and learned how to make accents.
What is so fun.
So when the way that Brian Jacques wrote the characters is they're all based off of different animals across the UK. And so there are Scottish and Irish and Welsh characters, right? And the way that they are written is their spoken word is written phonetically. So if somebody has a really thick accent, like ar, like that kind of ar bitey kind of voice, it's written like that with several vowels or consonants put together to make that. So you have to actively put that shape of that word in your mouth to figure out what the word is because it's not spelled the way that it should be.
Is genius.
Yes, it's so good. I started writing novels, if I had a character who had a really thick accent, I wrote the way that Brian Jacques taught me to write these voices. And it's how you learn how to write, how to speak phonetically for accents. It's just,
That's cool. It's essentially like if you're vaguely familiar with the Humblewood setting in D&D that I think Hit Point Press is very, it's like in that vein of everybody's animals, you know, there's a whole series of Redwall, but the first book they're at an abbey, you know, that basically the main character is a knight, you know, and it's great.
Yeah, it's all surrounding small fluffy woodland creatures, but the story is not small fluffy woodland.
Okay.
It's very much an intense like fantasy epic. It's so rich.
And like all of the characters are so, so vastly different and they go on these huge adventures and I remember getting a book of English topography and flora and fauna specifically because like I had no idea what an adder was because they use UK creatures right and like an adder isn't a thing that's in America. Stoats also are not American creatures, and so I had to go and like research these characters so I could like give a visual to them in my brain.
That's cool. Well, let's check that out.
The main we're
Redwall for a while. The main villain in the first book is it, I just lost his name. Clooney, right? Clooney, the Scourge. He's like Clooney a rat Scourge, with a super long tail that he uses as a whip. It's awesome.
Okay. All right. You're speaking my language now. There's a joke at work that I have an army and a legion of rats that is like eating all of our cabling and stuff. So I am.
So you're Jeffrey the Scourge.
I am going to add this to my must read immediately.
What's really cool about the series is there's like 20 books in them.
I'm out.
Well, it's a world. So like the first one was Redwall, right? And then there's Matthias and then a couple of other books that are right there. Well, no, because Matthias is his son.
Oh, right.
But so the main character is Martin. And then there's this whole set of books that goes forward in time. And then this whole set of books that goes backward in time. So you could pick up any one of the books and it'll like the world building is still the same. Like you don't have to read them in order. You can read them all over. It's almost like just serialized. Like every book is its own world, its own characters. Like sometimes they'll reference other characters. Like Martin the Warrior is essentially like their Jesus, right? So Martin the Warrior gets mentioned a lot and throughout the series. But you don't have to read them in order. And it's just, it's so cool. Ah, it's so good.
Bye. Okay. That was, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, starting with any, definitely start with Redwall. Cause like I've read most of the series. I always default to Redwall as the best one, in my opinion.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, because you started going down like the sons and the thing. And I was like, wait, is this going to Game of Thrones me? Like, am I going to get lost in the sauce here? Like,
it sounds like the perfect thing to read as you start watching Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
You know, there's also, he did write another series called The Flying, it's something about the Flying Dutchman, but it's essentially about this boy and his dog that were like, they were kidnapped and on a pirate ship, and then the ship went down in the middle of the ocean, and the Flying Dutchman gave them, like, cursed them with eternal life, and then gave the boy the ability to understand all languages, including dog, like animal languages, and then switched their names around. So then the dog, or the boy who was named Nebuchadnezzar, became Den, because he was Ned. And then, it was one of them was Ben, and then the other one was Ned, and it was Nebuchadnezzar and Denmark, I think. And it was just, it's such a good series. If you wanted to get your kids into something that's a little easier and more palatable to believe than like created animals, same writer, did a totally different series.
I just had all the math signs, like,
that's awesome.
That's fair.
That's a lot of names and a lot of things just gotten thrown
so
at me.
You just need to look up Brian Jacques and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
I don't know and how, that's but the I correct pronunciation
and we won't hear otherwise.
I've never read this. I don't know how I've stayed away from it because I feel like I've read everything, even like anywhere near adjacent to where it would be on a shelf, but not this one. So I'm excited.
Yeah, there's no magic in it. So like maybe that might have gotten separated in like the fantasy portion of it because it's really just like medieval knights.
Yeah, that's kind of like the difference
between the animals.
Fantasy and medieval. Is there magic? Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's pretty much the divider, I think, because that what's really the difference.
I'm ready for it. It's on my list now.
I can't wait to hear if you like it.
I have three Audible credits, so that's going to get added. Should I read it or should I listen to it?
I would say that, I mean, both, but the audio version, I can't remember the person who narrated it, but 10 out of 10. They did a fantastic job in the one that I listened to when I was driving, so.
All right, cool.
Yeah, I've never listened to the audio, so I can't give an opinion on it, but I do remember reading it, just enjoying the world building so much. And just like the imagery, and also like even if you do get the audiobook, I argue that you should open it at least a little bit just so you can see what I'm talking about and the way that you write the dialogue. Because it's just
The book is a decent size, but it's also a very quick read if you decide to read it. Like you'll breeze through that.
Yeah, very, very easy, very palatable.
Hmm. Well, I am not smarter than a fifth grader, and I read at the pace of a fourth grader. So
I think that's like the suggested reading level for this book, actually, yeah. Jeff. I was just looking at it. It's very like middle grade elementary.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Perfect for you.
Excellent. Everyone can read me in the comments now. Oh my God.
I'm just excited I got you on board to read my book, Jeff. So.
Hey. You know,
all 40 pages of it.
Oh, hey. Yeah, and I enjoyed every single one of them.
Yes. Jeff is one of the few people who has actually read the book.
I have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What?
Impressive.
I know.
I also recently learned how to read. Yeah, I'm excited for it.
Yeah,
no, my goodness. I don't
Does
know.
Anybody have any more questions? Not to.
For this episode,
sorry, go ahead.
Should I save it for later, Jeff?
What?
The secret about why you read the book.
You could, if you want to. If you want to, the people that are listening to the podcast will get a little treat. That's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, should I tease it or just say it? But I think I should just say it at this point.
You can.
Jeff has read the entirety of my book, which is not quite out yet, but it is available on Kickstarter because awesome. He is a voice actor in the animated version.
Oh!
Dude, that's awesome.
Hell yeah.
That's amazing.
And so is my son, potentially.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's so fun. Yep.
Yeah.
Maybe my daughter will be too. I don't know. We haven't done our parts yet.
Eli was so stoked. Like I was like, "Hey, buddy, you want to record something?" And he was like, "Yeah!" Like he threw on the headphones. Everything we like got set up in the booth and everything. He was like, "Okay, I need you to say this." And he was like, blah, 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 blah. Like, "All 9 takes or whatever of it that I sent you," and. Yeah, he was so happy. But yeah, no, that book is great, and if I can read it, so can you. So. But
I need you to write me a review that says that if I can read it,
I can read it, so can you.
I got you, girl. I got you.
That's gonna be the quote that's at the top of the book, like above your author name. It's just if I can read it, so can you.
New York Times bestseller quotes: if I can read it, so can you.
Oh God!
Oh my God! Yeah, no, that you know. I think it gets mentioned almost every episode, though, because we truly do believe in it as well. That book is going to be great. And it is truly going to revolutionize how kids get introduced to like tabletop games and role-playing games. Like, it's really cool.
In fact, I found out my last game, one of my players is one of your top tier backers.
Cool.
And he's also apparently he's translated everything for German for his kids. For your kids' character
sheet. The character sheet, yeah. I think that thing's in like at least 7 different languages now. So crazy!
That's so cool.
Oh, cool.
That's so cool.
Jeez. There you go. See, something to take to Europe with you when you go.
Yeah.
I actually started like reaching out to random people on Instagram and just being like, "Hey, you have no reason to know who I am, but I just wanted to say hello and introduce myself. We're coming to the neighborhood."
I love it.
And it's funny. I feel like that's most of my business plan has just been randomly like cold calling people and just being like, "Hi, you want to be friends? Because like I want to be friends."
Yeah. Works great.
That's essentially been our business plan has just been my charisma rolling all over the place. And that's what when I first was introduced to D&D, I was playing a paladin. I main as paladin, but my problem is that I am so charismatic and I like to make friends that I was essentially. My paladin had like a 20 charisma, and the only difference between my paladin and I in like real life is that my paladin also has a 20 strength, and I have a 15 maybe.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, so it's what a business plan. Make friends.
Yes.
It's been one of the
worst things to do in life.
Mm-hmm. As somebody whose favorite class is also paladin, hell yeah.
Same.
Okay.
In so fact, what? I'm joining a campaign that I get to play a paladin in, so I'm pretty excited. Yeah.
The only problem I had with the D&D movie was that there was not nearly enough paladin. That character is my favorite one on the screen, and he just came in, did his thing, and left, and I was
good.
More.
Yeah.
He needs his own.
I've heard. I don't know if this is true. I don't know if it's true. I've heard when he walks and when he's leaving that the first take the director called cut and he didn't hear, so he just kept walking. That's so incredible. Oh, yep, he's going up. Oh, yeah, there he goes.
There he goes. You go, buddy.
That's amazing. I wish that they I think I heard or read this somewhere that they, I don't know if they did. I hope they did. If they didn't, they missed out. Where the cast actually played D&D as their characters first.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I would have loved at the end of the movie if it had zoomed out to a Critical Role table or something, with all of them playing the game together. That would have been really cool.
They don't have that game recorded, but they did record them playing a little one shot at a boardroom table together. Yeah.
See, I would love to watch that. That'd be so cool. Yeah. I love watching celebrity D&D stuff. That stuff's always super fun.
Yeah.
The proposed joke for the second movie is have all the same actors but have them play entirely different characters and never acknowledge the other ones.
Yes. Yeah. That'd be amazing. That would be.
Or have one of the characters die and then have the same actor play a different character.
Yeah. June, that'd be fantastic.
I am Marco.
Oh my goodness.
I have a question.
Well, this was great. Yeah.
I think that this might, I'm just curious. If you could set a TTRPG or a D&D game in the world of any iconic film, what would it be? Would you do a Princess Bride kind of theme? Would you do a Treasure Planet kind of theme? What would be your ideal D&D game if you got to set it in any kind of world?
I'm boring.
You, right?
What?
This is our show where we ask you questions, right?
I'm sorry. I think this was interactive.
It's your show now.
I'm boring. And I would just say Lord of the Rings because it's the greatest piece of literature I think ever created and written. And the world is so deep and the lore is so vast that I just feel like it's maybe a cop-out answer, but it is my genuine answer. They're my favorite books and it's not close.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Same. I'll be boring too.
I'm boring, but in a different sense. If I got a good rule system down for it and terrain, I'd love to do it in the Star Wars universe. Because that is my true love is Star Wars. And I would love to do that. But I don't think I could pull it off terrain wise. It'd be very difficult.
I actually have a VHS from 1977 from the original release of Star Wars that just says Star Wars on it.
Yep.
It doesn't say
it's incredible.
That's because originally it did not have that name. It was just Star Wars originally.
Yep.
A New Hope didn't happen until post Empire. So
okay.
That's kind of flex though. That's pretty cool.
That is super cool. That's awesome. I still have the gold box VHS and the silver box VHS.
Nice.
Charlie, where are you going to build your
So I have a difficult time. Nice. Heck yeah. I have a difficult time picking one setting, and my homebrew world, Adventures After an Arcane Apocalypse, reflects that. There's so many different themes and elements to it. Treasure Planet is one of them, and I adore Treasure Planet. And in fact, it's Solar Surfer does exist in my world, and it has a stat block and it is an item in my campaign. But I think what would be really, really cool as a isolated microcosm in just one singular environment would be Atlantis. I think you could really make a very unique and interesting magic system with those crystals. Mm-hmm. And
I just that would be so cool. And you already have like so many different like adventure elements already themed with the idea that, you know, they're deep below, sequestered below the ocean, easily do a beautiful, you know, 40,000 leagues.
That would
be my thing.
Oh yeah, the world building, that would be so amazing. Oh, you have what's your thought?
I would throw in Titan AE.
That's a good one.
What is that?
Oh yeah, again? I mean, it's been years and years. It's a great movie.
Yeah, it was essentially like Treasure Planet done by Don Bluth before Treasure Planet was an idea.
But it was almost
more sci-fi-y than like space fantasy. But yeah, it's been so long since I've watched that. That's another aging us.
I was supposed to say, honest to God, that came out in 2000. And I probably watched it for the last time in 2000. I remember loving it.
Speaking of Treasure Planet, did you guys see the like fan made live action trailer that like was flooding YouTube last week about that?
No.
Just in your spare time, just search the fan made Treasure Planet live action. It's called Atlantis. And I was like, whoa, that's
damn cool. That sounds amazing.
Yeah. Okay. I thought it was real. Yeah.
Some fan made stuff is way better than like
the Vader series on YouTube is so good. So good. Yeah. Ooh. Man.
Oh, so I got to have to go check it out.
Well, that was a great question. Michaela, Kat, do you guys have any other questions for us?
Where would you guys make your...
Oh, yeah. Also, yeah. Where would you guys?
Where would you guys make your ideal...
You think yours Titan AE?
You did say that one.
Oh, I asked this question not because I had an answer to it.
Flip the script on you.
I have always really loved... like Avatar The Last Airbender. I know that they ended up making like a TTRPG about it. I haven't played it yet. So I do think I would love to do that. But I know the movie sucked. And I'm still bitter about it too. But I loved Aragorn so much. Read it again and see if it's still like good. But I remember reading it as a teenager and the idea of having like a dragon.
Yeah.
And like it being a part of this like huge culture. What do you?
Okay, there's a book series. No one will remember.
Is it the Dragon Riders one?
No. There's a book series I read as a kid that would also be great for this, and it was called the Singer of All Songs series. And basically, the entire structure of magic system
is based off of music.
Music and chanting.
That's cool.
Different factions of people. Everyone had to go underground because singing became dangerous because the only people who could sing and chant were able to use magic and people got afraid of it. But they had people who could sing and basically control different elements and different aspects of nature. Like you could also sing to control animals around you. There were people who could control ice. There were people who could control fire and lightning and storm.
That's honestly amazing.
It was really cool. And
just gave me a dope idea for a curse.
It was great. But then the whole premise, like there's the basically like Avatar, there's one person who can sing all of the songs, all of the chants, and is going to stop this big bad from happening. Great series. I don't know if it holds up because the last time I read it, I think I was 12. but I remember loving that series.
Yeah.
And that it would be great.
Sounds like
very adventure party. People kind of from different factions joined together to the big bad.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be the perfect setting when your party all wants to be bards.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I'm gonna change my answer from Star Wars because that's generic. But I don't know who did read it. I would totally do a Pendragon. That'd be sick. Pendragon is basically the story. The kid's name is Bobby. And isn't that its name Bobby Pendragon, right? I think that's.
I can't remember. It's been so long.
Anyways, but basically, there's this like the first one, I think he like finds out that he has this transportation ability that he like communes with, not communes, but like has this way to get to different worlds and stuff and solves problems and things like that. But he can do a bunch of other powers and meets cool people and things. And you saying Atlantis from the Treasure Planet made me think of, I think it's the second one where it's the underwater city that's in it. And it's like, oh man, that's super cool. But it's not limiting to one place. So you can just be like, boom. It's like Spelljammer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boom. And indeed it is Bobby Pendragon.
Hey!
I was right.
Yes.
Boom. Like the
it would have been embarrassing if his name was like Bartholomew or something, you know, like
and poetic. He's just been noted to like, Bob. I think it's
Bobby. Bob.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
Oh. All right. Man. Well,
that was fun, yeah. This though.
Has been awesome. Thank you, Michaela kind of... and Kat, for jumping in.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you so much for having us. This has been such a wonderful little Tuesday night.
Before we officially close out here, I did want to kind of stealing a thing from Hot Ones here. Shout out, bring yes. yourself down, walk yourself down the red carpet here. Where can people find you guys? What can we do? Yeah, I was going to do the whole look at this camera, that camera, that camera. It's like we don't have those cameras. Look at your camera. And then, but no, seriously. Well, God, this is going to be fun to edit. no, seriously, though, where can people find you? How can they get in contact with you? How can they buy all of your products and sell out everything for you?
Go yes. ahead. So our website is jumpinjacks, JUMPINJAX tavern, TAVERN.com. So jumpinjacks tavern. If you Google jumping jacks tavern with a G, I'm sure you'll still find it. Our Instagram is the same. Our TikTok, although I'm not as super active on TikTok because I am an elder millennial and I'm still trying to figure it out, is also at jumping jacks tavern. That's probably the best way for you to get a hold of us is on Instagram. That's the one that I'm most active on, and our website. We are kind of taking a little pause on expanding things just because, as we have mentioned, the dragons are in the air, and things are, we're trying to figure out, you know, life situation stuff. But we do still have like our tea and candle packages. We have a cup. We're trying to figure out some other like smaller packages that we can send out with the packaging that we already have, so that we can utilize that. But while we still are trying to figure out other packaging situations, but yeah, so at jumpinjackstavern.com or www.jumpinjackstavern.com, either one of those, very easy to find, a very, you know, distinct looking logo. You shouldn't get it mixed up with anything else. Yeah. I did research to make sure that happened.
Good.
Branding's important.
I can also say too, you can use InkGM, no spaces, for 15% off. And if you want to see a unboxing, my wife and I did an unboxing of the Paladin and Druid boxes on our YouTube. So you can go watch that.
And see all the wonderful goodness. Like, buddies, like you were probably one of our biggest
supporters.
You've been one of our biggest supporters since we had 10 followers and I was randomly messaging people. You have always been our biggest buddy. We love
you. Yeah. Oh, look. So I love you guys. My wife loves you guys. We absolutely, it's been an awesome journey and so excited. It's so cool now that like here you are now with this awesome podcast that, you know, was Jeff's idea. And here we are, the, you know, all of us. This is so cool. So
I mean, I think full circle, I'm pretty sure when you were talking about what you had going on in episode one, you were talking about doing an unboxing of Jumpin' Jacks.
Full circle, even just on our own podcast. Yeah, so. You're absolutely right.
Yep.
That's fantastic.
Yep. I'm going to cry.
Oh, she's crying again.
yeah, because you got, because you ended up like sharing an audio, like an audio clip of it. That's right. Mm-hmm. I, yeah.
I remember that.
Was
that.
Cool.
Well, truly, truly lovely. Thank you both so, so much for taking the time out of your days to join us. And you have an open invitation to always come back. So
don't be strangers. So I have enjoyed you all so much. And I'm excited to, like, now that I've met you, I know your personalities. I know your faces, your voices. I'm excited to, like, continue building the friendship. I enjoy y'all.
Yes, this is going to be, has truly been fantastic. It's kind of been surreal, honestly. I had this like side thought probably 30 minutes ago that I was like, we literally met you like in like talking less than an hour ago at that time. And it's like, we've been sitting here and it feels like we've known you for years. So
it's just bartender QR.
You know what?
That's the beauty of the fireside chat.
Yes, exactly.
Come together.
Yes. So, does anybody else have anything before we close out here?
Nothing. Just thank you guys so much. I really appreciate being invited into the industry. That's how we kind of got started, was people just being kind to us and inviting us in. So I appreciate you inviting us here now. So,
well, that's what it's all about. Loving each other, spreading the joy, spreading the love, playing games, being nerds, being weird. But yeah, from all of us here at the Story Crafters, thank you, Michaela and Kat from Jumpin' Jack's Tavern. And until next time, we love you. Thank you very much for listening. This has been crazy. We'll catch you in the next one. See ya.